Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Mr. Motivated Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you to dare to dream and to keep thinking big. You will fulfill or discover your purpose in life. We have a great show lined up for you today. Our topic is the Itsy Bees. Now, don't you go anywhere. You put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad. Because it's time for you to get some inspiration and some motivation. Remember to check out my blog, dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter. And that is at C, Mr. Motivator. The letter C as in cow, M-R-M-O-T-I-V-A-T-O-R. Now let's move ahead with our show for today. Today, I want to elaborate on the working of the busy bee and the grand effect it has on the life of the bee. That's you, me, and other hardworking entrepreneurs. What is a bee? A bee is a common name for a winged flower-feeding insect with branched body parts. What does the bees do? Well, some bees
can I have your attention, please?
Some bees produce
Joanne,
honey.
Joanne, please come to circulation desk. Joanne.
Some bees.
Please come to circulation desk.
Will
thank you.
Produce honey, next flower.
I've got to go with
yes, sometimes people park in the wrong place out in the studio parking lot, and so the security always asks for their names, and I got to talk to them and let them know we got to do something so we don't hear you on the set. But anyway, the honeybees hoard large quantities of honey, which is a characteristic that is exploited by beekeepers who harvest honey for human consumption. The greatest diversity of bees is found in warm, arid places, especially in the American Southwest and in Mexico. Bees have diverse and social habits. Bees live in colonies, and there are three types of bees in each colony. Bees see all colors except red. That and their sense of smell help them to find the flowers they need to collect pollen. Now, I want to talk to you, our viewers, that are tuning into our program today. Do you think we should be like the bees? Is there something that we can learn, that we can inject into our lives that will help us to be as productive as the busy bee? Now, you heard me mention that bees have social habits. Bees have social habits. Now, shouldn't we have social habits? Don't you think we should have a social habit that allows us to engage in social media? Do you know anyone around you that you consider to be a busy bee? Is it your neighbor? Is it a colleague that you work with? Is it a relative? Is it a friend? There are busy bees all over the place. And if we watch and observe these busy bees, they can be an inspiration to us, and they can help us be counterproductive with our lives. Well, folks, another surprise that Mr. Motivator has for you today. We have another special guest on our show. And this special guest has been so busy, and in fact, he's been away doing some things in New York, and he flew in for the weekend, and I'm just so excited that he decided to come in and be a guest with us here on the show. And this, not only is this guest a busy bee, they're also a freak. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring to you Alexis Rinaldo.
Yes, Alexi Rinaldo.
Thank you. Alexi Rinaldo, who is a stand-up comedian. He's an actor, a playwright, and he has an awesome one-man show that he's doing right now around the Metroplex. Also, he is going to tell you what the title of his one-man play is and give you some more details about that. Also, he has you can see the Alexis show, which he hosts over at UTDTV.com, which is here in Dallas. And he's just a phenomenal guy. Ladies and gentlemen, here is my friend, my guest, Alexi Rinaldo.
Hey, everybody out there in radio land. I am a one-man show artist, and I've been working on a one-man show called Heaven, Hell, and That Burning Place of Fire, and it's my interpretation vision of what's going to be the apocalypse. I mean, there's a lot of things out in the world right now, which if you start analyzing them, you know, they make some pretty good end times comedy. So for me, it's just it's my perspective and interpretation of the whole, you know, of the end, and it's a lot of fun to be able to write a show like this and perform and to act like a zombie on stage. And Dwight is a good friend of mine. He's a mentor to me, and you're in good hands when Dwight is great. You follow his philosophies in your life, and if you can implement just a small piece of his wisdom, you'll see changes in your life. And I know that I've grown a lot from Dwight's mentorship. And you know, a lot that I've done within the last couple of years, you know, is I attribute to Dwight. Dwight's being a teacher to me. So all this stuff, it's great stuff, Dwight.
Oh, thank you, Ron. Thank you for sharing such a beautiful a positive comment about me. It's not every day I have folks make that kind of comment, and you just really made my day. I got to ask you a couple of questions, and you know, you're a very successful comedian and actor, and I saw when you pulled up at the set today, and man, that's a beautiful jag. You think you'd give me one like that?
I'll work on it. I know a guy, Benny, and I'll see what I can talk to Benny about.
Okay, well, you're my inspiration, and I want me a jack just like the one that you're driving. Also, tell me something. How did you realize that you had this ability? Did you discover it at an early age? Was it in grade school? When did you discover that you were a comedian and you had this ability to act?
Well, I think that with natural skills, I mean, I think with natural gifts, say some people are meant to be football players,
yes,
you know, basketball players. Some people can sing high opera, you know. I mean, and I think being an actor is one of those natural skills, you know. So I discovered it after I was going to the University of Texas in about 2007, and I had this course, the government, what was it called? The Politics of no wait, it was international political economy, and it wore me down. Like, the whole semester just wore me down, writing papers and all these essays. And so the next semester came around, and I said, man, I want to have a fun semester. And so I wrote up my schedule, and I took all these creative writing and acting courses, and I got into that, and it was the semester was so much fun. But that's when I found out, man, I really like to act. And then one day when I was sick, I was watching Richard Pryor, and I was sick. I mean, I was sick. I couldn't get out of bed. Usually down in Austin, down on 6th Street, you'd go and you'd party. But that day, I was out for the count, and I was in bed, and I saw Richard Pryor, you know, doing this bit where he had smoked crack or PCP, and he thought that his lungs were on fire, and, you know, and just like I saw him, like, you know, he was talking about his suffering, yet people laughed. I saw that, and I was like, man, I want to do that.
Wow.
So I got out of bed, and I said, man, I wanted to, I called up, I remember I looked it up, I was like, man, comedy clubs in Austin, and I found a couple. I was so excited, man, I called, like, on a Saturday night at, like, 1 in the morning,
wow.
You know, I called the comedy clubs trying to find out how I can get on stage, and then I wrote some jokes, and, you know, it was through my acting class, the first one I ever took, where I found out, where it was like I noticed that I had a lot of energy when I went on stage, and I don't know if I was that good at that point, but, you know, like, something in me was, loved it, like, I loved doing it, and to this day, you know, through all the hardships and everything, you know, I keep doing it, because I just love doing it, you know, and I mean, Dwight is always encouraged. Keep, you know, do what you love, you know. But
thank you, Ronald. Man, that's what I call a busy bee. You know, you're one of those kind of people that when you see an opportunity, you just go for it. And man, I'm so amazed at how you work. Your schedule is full, and you're in Fort Worth tonight. You're in Austin the next night. The night after that, you're in Houston. Another night, you're in New York. Another night, you're in Las Vegas. And man, despite you making all those performances, and you're still going to school, right? And you're working on your one play act, and the other thing I think is impressive. How do you do all that? And then I notice you're dealing with social media. I notice you're on Twitter. If you have a blog, you're on Facebook. So how you to me, you're an example of the busy bee. You're acting, but yet you're taking time to plug yourself in the social media networks. How do you find time to make all those things happen?
Well, you know, there's a few mantras. For example, it's early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know, so having that philosophy, you only got so many years on this planet. You know, so I mean, why spend them all in bed? I mean, if you can get out of bed I told a friend of mine who works at Target, and you know, he said that he's like, you go to this job, like, you know, like, my first job was at Walmart, you know, like, I know that feeling. I know that feeling of,
yeah.
You know, you're just going to work to pay the bills, you know.
Yeah.
I know that, you know. But I told him, look, man, every day take 15 minutes to do what it is that you want to do, what makes you happy, whatever that is, man. It might be working out, might be writing. I don't know, might be, who knows what it is to you, but 15 minutes, do that thing that liberates you as a person. And then go into that, and it just, that right there is going to just, it's going to expand your consciousness. It's going to make you grow. So I think, you know, a part of being able to do, you know, how do I stay busy? It's I think it's that you know, you're doing things that you enjoy, so you find ways to make time for it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we really do find things, time for the things that we care about. So, you know, so I think you always, that's the philosophy. You know, you have to, you know, be in something that you love. That way you keep working on something. That way it doesn't seem like work, you know.
Wow. Did you folks hear that? That's why Alexi Ronaldo is so successful. And my wife was upset the last time we went to the theater to see you at the, I think it was the Improv over in Arlington. And, man, it was packed. We had to park way in the back, and we couldn't find seats. How did you pack how do you pack your performances? That's my goal. I want to be able to pack the house the way you pack the house. And folks, I want to tell you, if you've never seen, if you want to see a great comedian, a great actor, you got to come out and check out Alexi Ronaldo. Excuse me, Alexi Ronaldo. I had a tooth pulled, so it's kind of hard for me to kind of pronounce words. But I love you. I mean, you're just natural on the screen. I mean, you have such a blaze of enthusiasm, and you come across your body language and your face. And say, I mean, we laugh so hard. I mean, man, you talk about things that a lot of folks want to talk about, but they don't talk about. So that's why we enjoy your show so much.
Yeah.
Now, also, I'd like to ask you, too, about social media. I know you told me, if I understand correctly, you said a lot of your fans that follow you to your performances discovered you on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people do you think actually are on Twitter accounts? Do you think it's enough to get those kind of people?
Well, I mean, it's a huge resource. There's about 170 million people on Twitter.
Wow.
And, you know, that's just on Twitter. You know, Facebook, there's 980 million people.
What?
And if you go on LinkedIn, you know, more of a professional social media source, there's 97 million.
97, wow.
So, I mean, there's really a lot of power in YouTube, and it's not YouTube, forget about YouTube, but 870 million users on YouTube.
Really? On YouTube?
So, I mean, there's this huge power in it and huge numbers in it. So, and really, the social media, it really is, I mean, it's the wave of the future, and, you know, I'm not so sure that, I mean, that more and more, you know, job interviews won't be made through YouTube videos, or, you know, that this isn't. So it really is, you know, I think it falls upon us all to really, you know, maybe what if we started doing this in the education system, you know?
Yeah.
Social media, I mean, it really is, you know, the business and social media, I mean, those things are inextricable. I mean, they I don't know, you can't separate them nowadays. So, you know, you got to learn, they're so important. And they've helped me out so much.
Well, Lana, thank you for sharing that information. Why, I didn't know that we had such a large amount of people that visit LinkedIn and YouTube and all those things. Now, I know you've watched my YouTube video, Mr. Motivator 2, but I've watched your YouTube video, and could you tell everybody, if some people want to come and just check you out on YouTube, could you give them your YouTube video so they can get a little glimpse of you?
YouTube video. So right now I have a few things up at the youtube.com/TheAlexiShow.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly a lot of things, I got things coming out on utdtv.com. So you'll see The Alexi Show, you know, and they're updating the website. So I don't know if it's up, but you can try checking.
Now, that's another question I want to ask you. I know at UTD, what is your position? I know you helped them with the radio, with their media at UTD. So tell us what your position is.
I'm a comedian, host, you know, I write, I producer, I direct the show. And I just have fun with it now.
Wow, Rick, that is so exciting. Man, you do all of this, then you are a producer at the UTD, University of Texas in Dallas. You are the producer, you write the shows, you work with the media, and then you travel, and, I mean, you are a busy bee. And I'm just so excited and honored that you took time away from your New York project that you're filming, and you came into Dallas to do a show with us today, because I want my audience to be exposed to the best, and you're one of the best I know. You're one of the best. I mean, I don't know anyone that's as funny as you, and that can act. And I'm looking forward. Ron, I would like to for us to do a project together in the future. You, Alexis Ronaldo,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Mosley, do you see something in the future for us doing something together?
Yeah, sure.
I see right now a cartoon. We can do a cartoon. I've always wanted to do a cartoon.
Okay.
We can find an artist, and we're in business.
Yeah, man.
You know, as long as you know me, man, we can always, you know, work together. And then, you know, I mean, my success is your success, and that's the way I've always seen it.
And also, one of my producers, Peggy, wanted me to ask you, could she have a personal autograph picture? So I hope you bought some pictures. We have at least six women on our staff that would like to get an autograph picture. So could you do that for me today?
Oh, yes. I only brought five.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll take the five, and we'll just have to let one of them know that we'll get them one of the later ones. That'd be okay with you. Well, thank you for bringing those. Now, could you tell us a little bit more detail about this one-man act that is so powerful that I've heard so much about? We want to know the name of it. And we want to know the name of your one-man act, and give us just a few highlights, a little touch of the choice, and then we'll have to.
You know, my one-man show is Heaven, Hell, and the Burning Place of Fire. It's about bad parenting, and, you know, I don't want to give it away, of course, I'd love for y'all to show up to my shows, you know. But it's really, I play myself, maybe a few IQ points dumber than me, but it is me, and also I fathered the Antichrist. I fathered, and now I don't want to give it away, but. I mean, he is the one who's responsible for the apocalypse going on, and it was all because of my bad parenting. So, and it's a lot of fun.
Man, I tell you, I already know that everybody's gonna crack up. They're not gonna be able to hold themselves from wanting to laugh when they see this. But tell me something, Were you a problem kid? Were you one of those kids that got in everything, or were you just a little entertainer? So tell us a little bit about yourself as a kid growing up. Yeah, anyway, that was right.
All right. I mean, I've always been among the kids. There's two things. I've always been, one, the quiet one, but two, the weird one, you know? And if I talk, people started noticing, hey, he's kind of weird, you know. And it's always been from very being young and it's like I remember being in the fourth grade and the other kids, you know, they put me in the Spanish class. Meanwhile, I speak perfect English in the fourth grade, but, you know, they sent me to that school because you know, my that was the way that I could get a bus ride, you know what I mean? And if I went to an all-English school, I wouldn't be able to get a ride on the bus. It was weird. So I had to go to that school and talk in perfect English. And because I was Latino, they put me in the Spanish class.
Yeah.
And, and so it was like feeling weird and then asking me to join a gang. And I'm like, I'm in the fourth grade, man. You know, they're talking about getting high and drunk.
Yeah.
In the fourth grade, man. So it's like, just I remember from that was like the first. That there's a few other times in my life where I started noticing, hey, I'm kind of different from the other kids. But you know, it was like that was the point where I was like, I think that was like the fork in the road. And the other stuff was just kind of like premonitions and precursors, and that hey, there's about to be a turn. But, you know, fourth grade hit, and I was like, you know, I went off on a tangent. I was like, what was the question again, Dwight?
Oh, I think you gave me a good idea. We wanted to know a little bit about how you grew up and what kind of kids you were.
But, you know, I had a lot of shyness growing up. So, as far as being an entertainer, some really great entertainers are really shy. Michael Jackson is one of the first ones to come to mind. So it was Al Pacino. He's really shy. You
wow.
know? Sometimes Chris Rock is really shy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
wow.
Some of the greatest performers, it's I think that maybe it's that they are shy, yet it doesn't mean that they're not talented. They're very smart. Like Chris Rock said, that you know, great comedians listen. You know, a lot of people think about comedians being as the class clown. And, you know, there are those type of comedians, too, you know. I think, like, Martin Lawrence, I think there's just a natural class clown.
Yeah.
But, you know, some other comedians and some other entertainers are more, they're just they have a self-perspective and they're deep, and that goes into their art. But I've always been really shy, but it wasn't until college where it started.
Okay, it started for you in college.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you're just a phenomenal guy, and I can see why you're so successful. And I tell you what, Mario Lopez better look out because you're the next you're the next blazing star that's getting ready to tap into Hollywood for the concern. But now, we may have some people out here. That want to go into acting or they want to go into comedy. And I noticed that there aren't a lot of comedians. Now, Ron, can you give any advice to someone who's thinking about doing that and they don't know what procedures, what they need to take to get into it? Or if there's a parent who knows that they have a special kid and this kid has a special talent, a gift for making people laugh and amusing people, what would you suggest to the parents or to an individual that wants to discover their purpose in making people laugh and working in the arts arena?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, one, you got to do it, I think the art is great just for the sake of the art. But now, if you want to, so don't get caught up in being famous, but more exposure to social media, man. It's the social media.
Well, I just want to thank you for just giving us such great information and allowing us to share your life with us and with our audience today. And we want to ask you, could you come back again and maybe do a later show, another show with us, because there's so much, we really couldn't tap in all of the things that you're doing. Well, it looks like we're out of time, and we'll be back with more great shows, the same time, the same place. So tell your friends and your loved ones to tune in to the Mr. Motivator Show, Saturdays at 5:30, PM CST time. dare to dream and keep thinking big. You will discover your purpose in life. Folks, this is Mr. Motivator signing off. Hey, we love you. We look forward to you tuning in with us. Thank all of you. Thank you for your blogs. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for all the support of Mr. Motivation. And, Ron, especially, thank you for being my guest and for flying in from New York just to be with us today. Well, good luck to you on your new project, and we want you to come back and give us another show as soon as it's complete.
So I'd love to be here. All right. Thanks.